Well, amen. He's Lord. Thank you, Sister Clark. What a blessing. You'd have to go a lot higher up to get any better than that this morning. And I didn't know Sister Clark was singing or what she would be singing, but I think it's going to go along with the message if the Lord will allow me to express what he's laid on my heart this morning. Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read several verses. I hope you'll open your Bible and look at it with me so we can kind of get the foundation laid this morning. Luke chapter 19. She was singing there about Golgotha's Hill and the battle that rages on it, did rage on it. Now, I want to talk to you on the subject this morning, hold the hill, or as you'll see in the text, occupy till I come. Luke 19, verse 11. And as they heard these things, and this is the story of Zacchaeus that took place ahead of that. Most of you know about that. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, well, thy good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. That's the millennial reign, I hope you know. It's going to happen that way. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came and said, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. That word austere there just simply means stern or firm. Verse 22, and he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But these are those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them. Bring hither and slay them before me. Now, I'm not going to take time to expound all the verses, but if you would look in this, and by the way, here is a church age parable before Jesus was crucified. Now, many of the parables had to do with Israel and the Jews, but the biggest application here will be the church age. And if you studied the parable, you'll find out the whole picture right on to the return of Christ and the setting up of the millennial reign is all pictured right here in the parable that the Lord Jesus Christ gave. You can see the whole big picture. You see all the details, actually how the future is going to turn out. But I want to deal a little bit with the subject here that he said, occupy till I come. I am coming, but you got a job to do, and that's to hold on. And that's what I'm saying to you today. I want to use the theme, it's a military term somewhat, of holding the hill. Now, the high ground is the better ground in a battle. It's a better ground in the warfare. And I want to say to you today that you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are on the high ground, but we need to hold it. We need to hold it. In World War II, there's a story, and I wish I could remember it better. I was talking to Brother Wiebe a little bit about it, but in World War II, probably 1944, Hitler surprised everybody by making a final great big push and massing his army to move against the Allied lines. He knew that he had a certain amount of time, he had a window of time, and he thought he might make a spear point, a breakthrough through the Allied lines. He knew that George Patton, who was famous for moving fast, he knew George Patton had been commissioned to come. He knew that General Montgomery, the British general, was coming from another direction and that they would pinch him, but he wanted to come through with a massive force and break through the Allied lines. The only problem was just a little hill. I mean, a little hill. It was a little bit of a mountain hill, but it wasn't really big. I've seen pictures of it. But on that hill was 150 American boys, and that would be the first ones he would wipe out as he made his move. But something happened. They kept holding the hill. 150 American boys. In fact, they were National Guard boys. My only military experience was National Guard. And these boys had not had all the extensive training that the regular army had had. But here they were. They were on the hill, and they were told to hold the hill, and they began to hold it. Hitler couldn't believe it. He began to send reinforcements, and still they held the hill. Now, the boys didn't know how bad they were outnumbered. They didn't understand what they were against. They just had orders, and the orders were to hold the hill. And so they began to hold the hill in spite of everything. They had a few airstrikes come in on their side, but Hitler had all the big artillery. And after about a day and a half, 2 days of fighting, they still were holding the hill, and it was holding up Hitler's massive army and giving time for Patton and for Montgomery to get there. And Hitler he threw everything at them, and still they're holding the hill. A day came that a German soldier walked up the side of the hill with a white flag. And the Americans thought they're surrendering. But when the German got there, he was asking them to surrender. And their captain used words that I can't use, so I'll just say that he told them to go jump in the lake. I'll clean it up a bit for him. But the truth was, they kept fighting. The batteries in the communication radios were going down. They were being promised reinforcements, but reinforcements was not getting there. Occasionally, there would be an Allied plane that would come in and strafe the enemy, but it just did not look like they were running low on ammunition. It did not look like they could hold, but they kept holding. They wouldn't surrender. And the time came, and you check it out in history, that Hitler, realizing that he'd been delayed so long that the Patton and Montgomery was going to come in on him, and he had to back up. He actually had to give up trying to make that big effort to move through the Allied lines. Now, what I'm saying to you, these boys and this country boys, National Guard boys, doing the best. They had their orders. They were following the orders. They were defending the values that they'd been raised by. They were outnumbered, but they just held. And it was a very important thing. They bought the 3 days that was needed for Patton and Montgomery to get there. I want to say to you today, that's a good picture of us Christians. We have been encircled. We are having all the spin used against us. We are being treated unfair, and the odds seem to be increasing. And as I read in the text here, it said they sent a message after this nobleman when he left, and it says they hated him, and they sent a message after him. I want to say to you today that the message is still following the Lord Jesus Christ. From planet Earth, the signal is still being sent up. We still hate you. We don't want your name in our schools. We don't want the kids to hear about you. We still are sending a message after the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was crucified. We'll not have you reign over us. That's what we read here in the text. Yes, we're outnumbered today, but I want to encourage you. I want to say to you, there's a lot of reasons we need to hold the hill. We need to hold the hill, not surrender. Hold on, occupy till he comes. We ought to occupy, hold the hill because of our kids. We're having back to school Sunday today. Why do we have a Christian school? Somebody says, well, the public schools are free. Who are you kidding? What you're finding out is you're paying for your public school on down the line. when your kid turns out immoral, a dope addict, know nothing of God, that's the price you pay. Now, I can't guarantee you every kid that comes to a Christian school will turn out right, but I can guarantee you this, they can hear what's right. They can learn to respect God. They can learn how to live the moral life. Schools tomorrow will open a lot of them in uncertainty. I feel sorry for Christians that are teaching school in the public system because their hands are tied. I mean, to slip up and say something about God is dangerous. Something about the Bible, which is forbidden, that's dangerous. That's ridiculous. But they open up in uncertainty. Right now, the Supreme Court has frozen the order to integrate the transgenders into the restrooms. It was supposed to start tomorrow. It's held up. How long? Will it make it to Christmas? It won't make it long. Isn't that terrible? Can you believe it? Hard to believe, isn't it? Sad. Sad it is. I see where Rubio spoke to the pastors in Orlando. It makes me sick. Probably a good thing I wasn't there. Now, I'm surprised at him. He told the preachers, he lectured them that you ought to open your churches to the transgenders. Did you read that in the paper? I got news for you. He said, well, that's what Jesus would do. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Jesus said, go and sin no more. Jesus was talking about repentance, turning from that sin, my friend. And that's the real thing we need to understand. Transgenders are welcome at Landmark if they will turn and repent from their sin and trust Jesus and get all the blood. Yes, but don't come in here as a practicing sinner and expect us to accept you that way. Amen. Help yourself. Now, the truth of the matter is, and by the way, you saw in the paper where parents were encouraged to apply to transfer from a flunking school to a passing school. And yesterday, Friday, rather, was the last day to do that. Now, at least they're admitting they got a problem, but hey, what does that say to all the teachers working in the schools that's called flunking schools? Are we giving up on you? Are we going to pull the best out and send them somewhere else and leave you with the worst? Think that thing through just a little bit, folks. I mean, the Christian school thing, while we have a Christian school, we want to honor God. We don't take tax money. They can't tell us what to do. So in our Christian school, we want them to know who the Lord Jesus Christ. We want them to know he died for their sins. We want them to know there's a right way to live as well as a wrong way to avoid. We want to tell them the truth according to God's values. That's what our plan is. I saw an atheist say something this week. Atheist philosophy, of course, he gets quoted in the paper. And he said that it is child abuse to willfully mislead children in Christian schools and homeschools. Well, what's he talking about? Is it child abuse to tell them dope's wrong? Adultery's wrong? Is it wrong to get them to avoid the pitfalls of Satan? No, that's not abuse. He's the abuser. To tell them there's no God to answer to. He's the abuser to tell them there's no accountability. He's the abuser to tell them they can grab for all the gusto they can and he don't tell them what a dead-end street that they're moving down. But we want to teach God godly values. We want to give them a place to go where God can be honored. I know there's a cost in a sense. We have to pay the bills, but paying later is the danger. How many of you remember reading a story in English literature? I remember it a little bit, not all, but some of you teachers may can correct me, but there was a story in English literature about the man that sold his soul to the devil, remember? There's been more than one story on that, fiction. But and by the way, why is it fiction? Because he's already got you sold if you're not saved. But anyway, supposedly sold his soul to the devil, and the devil prospered him. And made the deal with him and have all these things, but in the end, I get your soul. Remember the story? Was it Daniel Webster that argued against it in the literature? And when it come down, the man didn't want to give up his soul. See, the end always comes. Payoff always comes. And so when it's time to give up his soul, he didn't want to do it. So the story is written about Daniel Webster defending in court and trying to renege on the devil and keep the man from having to give his soul. I thought the illustration is simply this. Pay now, pay later. You want the devil's blessings now and cost you your soul later, then just go ahead with what seems right and follow the wrong way. There is an end that's coming. And it's going to be a painful thing when it happens. There is a cost. And I say to you parents, you, if you love your kids like I believe you should and like you do, then it's worth a sacrifice to put them in where God is honored and God is respected. We ought to hold the hill for our kids. We ought to hold the hill for the truth. Now, there's a lot of news today, but not much truth in the news. The biggest thing going on in the news now is who's telling the biggest lie this week. Isn't that amazing where we come to? A lot of news, but very little truth. And the old-time faith of God is what's left out. We need to hold the hill for the truth. I mean, look what the loss is. Look at Europe and see what they lost when they turned their back on God. Look at France. Even England now, you had the Muslims move in. See, you can't have a void. And they had a void when they kicked God out. The church building's empty in England, empty in these nations, empty in Europe. And what's moved in? Heresy of Islam has moved in. The devil is always going to move something in when you move God out. Every time it's going to happen. And we see it. Now you can't keep up with the news. It's another slashing. It's another killing. It's another place being shot up. It's another train being attacked or something else in the news as we go. And so what do we have? Now we have the nation somewhat trying to close the door, but it's too late to close the door. All this stuff has moved in. Russia, for instance. And this is sad. I cut this out. Russia just this week, after the wall fell and some good things happened in Russia many years ago back in the 90s, we had some hope. Russia now, because of Islam's infiltrating and because of the conversion over the web of ISIS and recruiting of terrorists, Russia now has passed a bill that's going to hurt Christianity real bad. This new bill has just been passed on the sharing of religious faith. The new law will require any sharing of the Christian faith, even a casual conversation, to have prior authorization from the state. It goes on. This includes something as basic as an emailed invitation for a friend to attend church. Even in a private home, worship and prayer will be allowed only, get this, only in a private home will worship and prayer be allowed if there are no unbelievers present. Talk about the bill that Mr. Putin just signed in. Churches will also be held accountable for the activities of their members. I could be a little sarcastic there, but I won't. Radio Free Europe reported Russian President Vladimir Putin signed the contentious law that was promoted as countering terrorism. See what's happened? They're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. They say, we got to stop Islam from recruiting, so we'll close the door on all religion. You can't share, you can't witness, you can't speak. And the sad truth is, that's what's happening to these nations because they have turned from God. Now they're being deceived with false gods and false stuff like Islam coming in. That's happening in America, folks. Muslim schools are now opened in America on our tax money. Isn't that amazing? I cut out another little slip here. You say, why do you cut the slips out? Because you don't believe me when I say some of this stuff. I have to show it to you. Amen? Charter schools owned by Islamists promoting Sharia law in U.S. Well, I guess so. It's their schools. That's their doctrine. Sharia law. You ought to learn about that, ladies. You ought to find out you're not worth as much as a good dog or a burro. That's what Sharia law is for you. It says a lawsuit's been filed against the charter school for requiring students to study and profess the Muslim statement of faith and memorize the five pillars of Islam. Charter schools such as Horizon Science Academics, Harmony Schools of Excellence in Texas, Dove Science Academics in Oklahoma, Magnolia Science Academics in California are owned, get it now, they're owned by Muhammad Gulen, and you've had his name in the news recently, G-U-L-E-N. He is a proponent of civilization jihad. This is a form of jihad that holds to nonviolent overcoming Western nations over time through immigration. How about that? Somebody said we don't need a wall. We need more than a wall. Through immigration. An exploitation of civil liberties available within those nations. These schools receive millions of U.S. tax dollars annually. What are we doing with our tax money? Open up Muslim schools in America to teach the kids to cut our throats and dispose Christianity. Do you know what I just said? I hope you do. This fella, Gulen, whatever, how you say it, G-U-L-E-N, Muhammad, always got first name Muhammad, you know that. Anyway, he's the one Turkey is wanting the United States to send back to him because of all the dirt he's pulled there. That's been in the news recently. But what we're doing is Landmark Christian School don't get any tax money. We never asked for it. We have turned down a few little things they offered a time or two because we knew it'd have strings on it. But here, giving our tax money to teach that heresy in what is supposed to be a godly Christian nation from our founding, I'm saying to you, we need to hold the hill for truth. We need to speak against this stuff. His plan of civilization jihad is to come in by osmosis. Legal for a man to have four wives. They're going to outpopulate us. That's part of that plan. The other thing is take our freedoms that we have, constitutional rights like the First Amendment, and use them against us. That's his plan for civilization jihad. That's it. Well, say, what? Don't make sense. Well, it does sound like something's rigged. Sound like it's rigged real good. We had both conventions, Democratic convention and the Republican convention, had Muslims lead in prayer. In America, Muslims lead in prayer. Even had a homosexual speaker at the Republican convention. Yes, it did. Oh, you didn't see that on the sports side, or probably on Ofer, or Dr. Phil, but you saw it if you watched any of it. Amen and amen. Don't look at me like I've lost my brains. America's losing their brains when we see something and don't even believe it. I mean, an airplane flies in with no marks on it during the night with nothing but cash money on it, and the money is taken off, and then the hostages are let free, but it wasn't a ransom. The president said it wasn't a ransom. And so we sat there like little lambs and sheep, and we said, uh-huh. My eyes must have, lying eyes I've got. Amen and amen. Sad truth here. We need to occupy the hill because we want to save the truth. And then we want to occupy the hill to keep salvation's offer alive. We're not going to give up. All those soldier boys on that hill, they were promised reinforcements. The reinforcements never made it, but they held on until the enemy quit, till the enemy was defeated. I want to say to you that we're going to hold on because our reinforcements are coming. We know who he is. We know he's faithful for what he promised, and he is coming, and he's going to be on time when he gets here. In the meantime, I want to hold the hill. I want to hold the hill to keep salvation's offer alive. You know, the Lord Jesus, he won the hill to start with. You heard Sister Clark singing about it a while ago. Golgotha's hill. The Lord faced the greatest enemy that was ever faced on Mount Calvary. It was a Mount Calvary. He faced the greatest enemy. He faced the hordes of Satan, but he won. And as she sang a while ago, he finished it. And that victory that was won on Mount Calvary is still offered today, but the forces of the devil today is trying to shut it down to where we can only speak it if no unbelievers are present. That's coming. That's coming. I've said it 3 times, 3 weeks. I'm going to say it again. Lawsuit going on in Iowa right now over church being forced to let the transgenders in their restroom. And here was the argument. if the church doors are open to the public, then they can come in. It's a public restroom. No, it is not. It is bought and paid for by Christians putting their money in an offering plate, and we got the right to say, no, you won't go in there with our little daughters, even though you are crazy enough to think you're a man. I think we got enough men that think they're men to kick them out myself. I'd be glad to try. We're going to hold the hill because we still want to freely have the freedom to tell about Jesus Christ and what he did when he died for our sins on the cross, on Golgotha's hill. He held that hill. We need to hold the hill today and still recognize that the victory is ours because he's coming back. He's going to come back. Bible tells me in Psalms 2 that the heathen will rage. And they'll try to get God's strings off of them. And the Bible tells me in Psalms 2 that God will have them in derision, that God will laugh at them. And then that statement in Psalms 2 says that he will set his son, his only begotten, on Zion's hill. I know who's going to be on top when it's all said and done. I know who's going to be on top of the hill when Jesus comes back, when the armies of heaven come down and destroy the enemy. Did you read in the parable there what he's going to do when he comes back? To the crowd that said, we'll not have this man reign over us. To the crowd that hated him. To the enemy. Did you remember what we read over there in the 27th verse? It says, but those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. There's a time coming. The Bible says, we call it Armageddon, but it's a time when God comes back in judgment. He lands on the Mount of Olives, which is split in twain. He lands, as it were, on the top and the heads of the United Nations armies of the world. And he shows them who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is coming back. He is going to sit on Zion's hill. He is going to rule no matter what we're seeing happen today. You know, have you ever had this happen to you? Have you ever had a song get in your head and you couldn't get it out? For several days now, and I don't know when's the last time I heard this song. But for several days now, I've been just kind of playing around in there. And I'm not a music man. I'm not a singer. You know that. But it's just playing around in my head. And it says, hold the fort, for I am coming. Hold the fort, for I am. He is coming. My job is to stay, hold the fort. Hold the hill. Occupy till he comes. Hold the fort, for I am coming. It was in my head so bad, I picked up the book when I walked out here this morning, songbook, and I looked it up. Look it up in your songbook real quick. Page 477. Look in your book. 477. I like what the words of this song says. It says, hold the fort, for I am coming. Wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Boy, these words are powerful. Heather, let me do a little different this morning. Grab your songbook. Open it up to this page, 477. Let's stand, folks. Let's stand. I want Hector to lead us in this. I want you to look at the words. I want you to sing it. It's not a long one. Sing it like you mean it. Let me just frame it this way. It says, wave the answer back to heaven. By thy grace we will. Now, you know what? God is looking at a bunch of us today as to what kind of answer we're waving back to heaven. I want him to know whose side I'm on. I want him to know I'm fighting to hold the hill. I'm going to do my best. Those boys begin to run out of ammo. The batteries on their radios begin to run down, but they didn't quit. And it may look like all odds are against us today. It may look like that the hate is increasing, But bless God, I'm going to wave the answer back to heaven. I'm still here, Lord. I'm going to be doing what I'm supposed to do till you come. Hector, start us off. Musician, start us off. Lead the song. Sing it.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the mighty host advancing, mighty men around us falling, courage almost gone. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. See the glorious banner waving, trumpets blow. In our leader's name we triumph over every foe. Hold the fort, for I am coming, Jesus signals still. Wave the answer back to heaven, by thy grace we will. Fierce and long
our heads. Father, thank you. Thank you we can wave the answer back. Lord, right now, in our midst, I'm asking people to wave an answer back to you. Will they answer that they've received your Son as their Savior? Will they answer that since I'm saved, Lord, I'm not quitting, I'm going to hold the hill, I'm going to occupy till you come? Father, right now, in your house, under the authority of your word, I invite people to come to receive Christ, thereby send the answer back to you. By thy grace, we will. Send the answer back to you that I'm going to stay faithful. Send the answer back that by thy grace, we will. Right now, I invite anyone and everyone that needs to come. Maybe some of y'all just come to the altar and say, Lord, courage almost gone, ammunition running low, odds against us, and I've sort of slacked up, but forgive me. Lord, I want to wave the answer back to you this morning. I want to be renewed in strength to serve you until the trumpet calls. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts about that as your people. I pray you'd especially speak to those that need to answer back by being part of your church, or answer back by being properly baptized, or answer back to you, especially by confessing Christ as their Savior. Bless the invitation, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask you to come this morning and receive Christ. Come for prayer. Come make a commitment to God. I'm going to send you the answer back, Lord. I'm not quitting. I'm going to hold the hill. I'm going to occupy.